Welcome to Tim and Joel, Call It in the Ring. We're going to talk about some wrestling. How you doing, Joel Pearl?
Tim, you're so chipper this morning. What's going on? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Chipper.
Chipper-roo. Did you enjoy a good night's rest? Did you enjoy the wrestling that was on all week? What's going on? Why are you... I don't trust this. I don't trust this chipperness. Chipperality.
Oh.
All right,
better,
we're back.
Better to be chipper than dead.
Chipped on? Better to be chipped on than chipped off.
I guess so.
It's too early. Moving the shows to noon was a big mistake, let me tell you. We work so much better in the middle of the night. And if you want to be in the middle of the night with us, I'm going to just cut you right off. Exactly. I don't have anything anymore. I'm out of segues. Toss a thumbs up. Let's just gold it. Just right into it. Toss a thumbs up on the video. If you're watching us after the fact, I'm sorry you missed us live, but you can always leave a comment here. And you can subscribe to us here on the channel at youtube.com/TimAndJoelPod. If you're listening in audio, guess what helps us more than anything in the world? Getting our voices into your friends' ears and your ears is leaving us a 5-star review wherever you're listening right now. Spotify, Pocket Cast, Apple Podcasts, no more Google Podcasts. So whatever took over that, go ahead, leave a 5-star review and that'll help us out. And our Discord server is live and it's open and it's free. There's a link in the video description here on this channel, on this video. Go ahead, join us. We talk about wrestling and we hang out. Tim's there often. I'm there all the time. We talk about the shows and everything going on. Tim, how are you doing?
Good.
What are we doing here?
I don't know.
Hello to our friends in the chat. How are you? It's good to see you. Let's get to it.
All right, let's talk about some wrestling.
We'll start with SmackDown. I feel like a lot of people had issues with SmackDown. I enjoyed it.
I don't know that I enjoyed it. It was serviceable.
I mean, there
it continues to advance stories at a snail's pace. Stories I don't much care about, but stories nonetheless.
Fair. One thing that I noticed was that the first 90 minutes went by really, really well. It was well paced. I really
super
enjoyed
agree with that. Yeah, like I like lifted my head and I was like, oh, we're almost done the show.
Exactly. We were already at the main event at the Battle Royal as we got to the last 30 minutes, and I was like, oh, okay. And then things kind of like fell off a little bit, not just because of the way the Battle Royal happened, but just the way that they have all these, like, we're gonna do the Raw rebound, we're gonna commercial, and then we're gonna show another thing.
I think, I guess there wasn't as much of that during the 90 minutes, but WWE's programming in general is just so full of that, and like it's hard for me to focus on it at this point because there's so many packages, so many recaps of stuff I've already seen. Like, I don't know.
And that's how WWE works in terms of their programming. Every week is a new opportunity for them to tell you what you've missed. Or if there's a new fan, they basically go into every week assuming that there's a new fan watching and we want to get them caught up. That's their version of having
exactly. And program. I get why they're doing it. I find it so tedious. Like, especially because the packages don't change really. Like, it's the same format. It's just that there's nothing like to grip a recurring fan there. It's right. Literally just recycled content over and over again.
So, of course, we open the show as we tend to with SmackDown. You've got Roman Reigns comes out, but you have Caleb Braxton in the ring introducing them and also saying that there are quote unquote rumors.
Yeah, which you conveniently did not hear at all.
It's funny because the rumors started from the Staples Center Twitter when they were talking about Brock buying a ticket to attend the show in a couple of weeks for SmackDown. And I thought, okay, that's neat. That's a good
way to
drive tickets.
At least they tried to place it, yeah.
Yeah, like there's an interest there. And then WWE did the thing that they always do where they catch wind of rumors and then they bring it to your attention and they hit you over the head with it. That part I don't really like. I like the way that it started. I don't like the way that they're playing it out. That's all.
Yeah, which is what they do. And like, I don't know. Again, that's all well and good. It's cool. It's just I don't really pay that much attention to their social media ecosystem, but lots of people do. So whatever. Not for me, for others.
What is your favorite Instagram filter to be a legit journalist?
I don't know. That whole bit was weird. It felt like, I mean, Paul Heyman's so good at being a piece of shit.
He is.
It was good. It really made me dislike him there. It was so uncomfortable. I was like, oh, you're such a jackass.
I like the idea of these two continuing their little on-screen feud. Kayla Braxton is the one person in WWE who holds a microphone who's allowed to have a personality. That's how it works there.
Exactly. Like,
there's always one. And if you haven't noticed this, there's always one. When it was Renee, it was Renee. Renee left, and then it was Charlie Arnold. And then she left, and now it's Kayla. And then when she leaves, it's probably going to be either Megan Morant or it's going to be Sarah Schreiber, because she's more... She's more in the WWE bubble. There's always one person. Right now, it's Kayla's turn, and she's doing a great job. I got to give it to her. Yeah,
totally.
But I wish they would actually do a little more. They're trying it with Kevin Patrick on Raw because they have him doing multiple shows. Remember when the New Day were having their... when they did King of the Ring, and he kept asking New Day, what happens if you two face each other? So there are little things they're trying, but it's not exactly working with Kevin Patrick yet, but it works with Kayla and Paul Heyman, who also have been working together on Talking Smack, or at least they were until they went back to live crowds.
And that's I think a big part of that is Paul Heyman, but.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. They absolutely push each other through Paul's relationship with her.
Yeah.
So they do a "We Want Brock" chant for some reason.
I guess they want Brock.
They want Brock. But
that's fine.
Pat McAfee being like, we want Brandon. And it's like, come on, man. Shut up. This isn't it.
Yeah. Also, that name is a little charged right now. But
yeah. Anyway. That's why
I don't think Pat McAfee recognizes that. He doesn't seem like a jackass. But I don't know.
I think he does, but he knows they're in North Carolina.
Well, he's rich. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I enjoyed it. They're like, Brock Lesnar's a loser. He's not going to be back. I'm going to crush him, blah, blah, blah. I crush Big E, says Roman Reigns. And he's right. He beat Big E at Survivor Series. There was no schmoz. He won. So there you go.
They didn't use the knack thing at all, which seems insane, because the only time the kickoff show matters is when there's a title on the line.
I agree. And I'm seeing like ratings down, Brock Lesnar. Well, that's the thing. SmackDown ratings are not down week over week. They're holding. So the answer isn't Brock Lesnar. The answer is we had a story, and the story is going to... Listen, we know it's Roman and Brock. The one thing that I can always say there's a story in place is when it's Roman. Because guess what? He ain't letting you out without a story in place. So you can tell me ratings are down because Nakamura's the challenger. You can tell me ratings are down because the Ziggler and Rude are getting title shots. I don't care. But you can't tell me it's because they're bringing back Brock. Brock pops a rating, yes, it's known. But in this case, it's not the reasoning. So Jeff Hardy, because he's going to be the man. They do a tag match, him and Drew versus Madcap Moss, Happy Corbin. I don't want to talk about it because I don't like to talk about Madcap Corbin. There's nothing to talk about there.
Who cares? It was nothing. Match was fine because, again, they're all capable wrestlers. It's just there's nothing.
So Hardy gets the win. He gets the pin in his home state, near his hometown. That's good. That's positive. And he's going to be in the Battle Royal later, which I was, he's going to win it. And we see you later what happened. We'll get there.
Oh, my God. Okay. This is a through thread through the entire show that I like. God. People like why don't encourage this theming nonsense. It's so exhausting, and both AEW and WWE did it. I hated it all week. It's Thanksgiving, it's Black Friday having taken status as an actual holiday now in the United States. Like, so many times I had to hear the words Thanksgiving, so many, like, all through SmackDown, the stupid Thanksgiving tables, the Black Friday nonsense. It's so boring. You're all boring.
I mean, listen, we do Black Friday here in this country, but we only do it because of the US.
Which is fine. I don't care. Like, I don't care that those things exist. Thanksgiving is fine. It's just, it's barely a theme, so I don't understand why we visually have to apply it to everything wrestling, which has nothing to do with Thanksgiving whatsoever. And also, just the words Black Friday over and over and over again. I don't care if they mention it when they're, promoting their merch sales. That's fine. It inexplicably tied to wrestling matches like AEW did with Rampage was just annoying. Like... All of it was annoying. I'm so annoyed with all of society. Continue talking about this boring ass show.
I love that you do this entire diatribe. Next up is Ridge Holland versus Cesaro.
Speaking of boring.
In a match that is sponsored by Taco Bell, Tim.
Like, why does Taco Bell even advertise anymore? Why does any of those, like, there's only like five companies left in all of Western society. Stop advertising. We have no options anyway.
Like, Tim, go get a title shot. It's on cheap. We're going to talk about that when we get to Rampage.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, you know, when you're giving it to Sami Zayn, you know that it's cheap.
We'll get there. Ridge Holland comes out, black little dildo bat, and he's got Sheamus. Sheamus introduces Ridge Holland by
Sheamus with the pimp stick now. So I guess he's I don't know.
He's the godfather Sheamus.
Put it together. I don't care.
And instead, yeah. So Taco Bell gets involved. People are going to shit on Nick Khan, and that's I get it. There are reasons to do it, but unfortunately, the ways in which he finds money and opportunities for revenue. You can't really deny that it's effective. It's not effective with fans.
This is what every company does, and it sucks, and I hate it, and everyone keeps encouraging it, so whatever. It's not going to go away. Like,
no, it's
if
not.
You still watch this stuff and follow them on social media, they're going to continue doing this.
And like, look at the trends in advertising for WWE and the products they show. Like, they know who their audiences are. They know the income. They know... We are anomalies. We people who talk about these things in these circles, we're an anomaly. We're not Joe Fan who is eating these things like Taco Bell.
Here's the thing. Like, one would think that a show full of incredibly fit people might not be constantly hawking fast food, but they know who their audience is.
Listen, there's a reason why AEW is not hawking Redcon 1 and Kenny Omega's supplement on the regular. Kenny's doing it on his own, but AEW is hawking Domino's. Like, wrestling. What do you do when you watch Wrestling with Pals? You get pizza. What do people ask when the Big Four come along? What's your spread? What's your Royal Rumble spread? What are you making for the Rumble? That the old joke used to be the cheesecake. Because that was a Reddit thing. The story was someone on Reddit was like, hey, I made a cheesecake for the Royal Rumble. And people were like, the Royal Rumble's next week's, pal. So now the ongoing joke is every Royal Rumble the week before someone makes a cheesecake.
Oh, okay.
If Taco Bell wanted to sponsor us, we would eat that up.
I will pretend to be a consumer of Taco Bell for money, because we're all out here selling ourselves for capitalism.
Exactly.
We're just as big of a hoe as everyone else.
Exactly. And, you know, so... You had pumpkin pie, you had your pecan pie, you had your key lime pie, and there's cheesecake. Cheesecake comes back around January time before the Rumble, don't forget. Anyway, Cesaro wins the match 5 minutes, and people are saying this is the end of Ridge Holland already. I guess? I don't know? What do you think?
There's no start to Ridge Holland. I don't understand what they're doing with him. He's a Sheamus fanboy. You might as well have just gotten a fan. Like, I don't know what he's doing.
I mean, these three, Ridge and Cesaro, are vying for Sheamus's love at this point.
Yeah, it was just the I broke up, who broke up with who stuff. And it's like, this is a very weird story. Like, how did their tag team come to an end? Like, how did the bar finish?
I feel like they got drafted to separate shows.
Yeah, like, that was it. It wasn't anything, there was no, like, turn in this, which is rare for WWE. Like,
if I'm wrong, someone in the chat will tell me, but I'm pretty sure they did. They either just went their separate ways or they got drafted.
It just dissolved. Yeah, like, I don't.
I mean, they were built out of animosity. They were having the Best of Seven series.
Yeah.
And then they got put together and it became a huge thing. And they just ended. Yeah. While we're at it, we'll just have Cesaro's heel turn and we'll do League of Nations 2.0. Cesaro's Swiss, Sheamus is Irish. You've got Ridge Holland from the UK. Who else can you get?
Drew's
gonna turn.
Mustafa Ali has no friends right now, so that would be good for him.
Yeah. Perfect. And then they'll have Xia Li as the extra, as the woman of the group. Yeah. I'm a fan. Let's do that. Speaking of Drew McIntyre, he goes up to Sonya and Adam Pearce and says, hey, I want to be in the Battle Royal. And they're like, yeah, we'll think about it. And of course, that means you're not going to be in the Battle Royal, as we find out later. Boogs. Boogs comes out and introduces Shinsuke.
Even though it's Boogs' match.
It's Boogs' match. I'll point out again, Shinsuke won the title in September and has defended it like one time. And also, Happy Corbin is owed a title shot because he won a championship contenders match against Shinsuke.
I gotta say, like, just all of this feels so much like just a touring show, right? Like, for a live audience, this is what you'd want, right? Repetition over and over. You get to see the same thing. You don't want to miss out what one city had. But, like, for a live show on TV, this sucks. Like, Boogs' entire shtick is just, like, a touring gimmick. But I see it every single week.
Yeah, it's the circus. It is the circus.
I hate it. I'm so exhausted, Joel. I'm so exhausted.
I get it. And if you want
the same shtick every single week.
If you want proof that it's the circus, Vince McMahon used to consider Barnum and Bailey's as like the competition to WWE.
As he should for a live show, but not when it's televised.
But Barnum and Bailey's circus went out of business a few years ago, leaving WWE as the oldest touring act around. And as a result, he has the absolute market share, the lion's share of that style of touring, and it's not going to change.
No.
Boogs and Garza. Humberto Carrillo tries to play the guitar, and then he ends up going through a table for his actions. By the way, this was a Thanksgiving leftovers match.
And yeah, again,
none of the food.
Because none of it matters. It's just stupid theming because it feels like this is made for morons. Like, it's just the same repeated words over and over again. It's like, oh, we got to switch out the merch in the Dollar Tree or whatever. And like,
I'm tired of seasonal stuff. Mod Mike saying Ridge versus Ridge Holland versus Boogs for who has the better sidekick. let's do Sheamus versus Shinsuke for who is the better sidekick. Oh God, I don't know. What's really frustrating here is that you've got a tag team in Garza and Carrillo, and they can easily be going for the Usos or up that tag division to get a title shot. But of course they're heels, so they're not going to do it. On the other side, you've got Shinsuke, who's the damn Intercontinental Champion, who could be going up against literally anybody. But for some reason, Angel Garza is probably going to get a title shot. Why? He's in a tag team. I just still don't understand.
Okay, because they don't care about tag teams at all, which is so confusing to me. Like, you could be putting, like, that's at least 15 minutes per episode that you could be doing something really interesting by having a tag team division. Like, WWE in the Attitude Era had a good tag team division, and it's one of the most, like Jeff Hardy has the status and the pop he has from tag team wrestling. I don't understand why they resent it so.
Well, as our friend Supersonic says, if you thought that was bad, wait until Charlotte's segment.
I barely remember what happened. She was out in the ring.
She's out in the ring. Cole is doing
the microphone. I'm still the best, even though I'm a loser.
Yeah.
We just brushed over that.
Bex is on Raw. That's fantasy land. And she's the most dominant woman in sports entertainment. And out comes Toni Storm.
Yeah.
Now, I like that Toni Storm is now wearing regular human clothes.
Yes.
And is not being touted as wild child of the 80s, whatever that meant.
Yep. The daughter of a wild child of the 80s who
maybe
adopted that as her identity for some reason.
So she comes out in the leather and she's all, you know, I'm going to beat you. I'm right here. And, you know, Charlotte says, oh, that's so cute. And you thought I was coming after you. I barely know you exist. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, oh, great. So Charlotte is going to shit on Toni. And I'm like, that's fine. That could build to something.
Yeah, that works.
And then Charlotte takes a swing at Toni Storm. Storm ducks it. They go out onto the ringside. She throws a pie at Toni Storm's face. Charlotte throws a pie at Toni's face.
Pie fight.
And then Charlotte shoves a second pie.
No. This was worse than you're making it sound because... Charlotte then stands next to the table for like a full bloody minute while Toni is quite distant from her and then says, come at me. Then she picks up the pie when Toni still has ample time to realize what's about to happen. And then she continues to walk further and takes the pie in the face without even attempting to guard, which is so Like, so dumb. Like,
someone was scripted not to react to that pie. And you're trying to build that person. Not a big fan of that.
No, it was silly. Like, either they need to, like, practice a little bit backstage so that they can do, like, a quick move with this. But, like, it was just telegraphed so far in advance that it was just meh.
If that pie had come much quicker, much earlier, we would be in a different conversation right now.
For sure. It's just, it seemed so, like, it just seemed, like I said, every move of that entire segment was so telegraphed that nothing was interesting there.
Yeah, I love it. We'll have Kevin Owens investigate who threw that pie. Oh, I mean, this time we know it was Charlotte, but we need to know why she didn't do it quicker. Maybe it's one of those Charlotte had heat things. Maybe Charlotte waited too long, and that's the problem. I don't think so.
It was all bad.
It was just poorly, like you said, poorly timed and poorly planned. I don't know what they thought they were getting out of this. I like Tony and Charlotte.
This is a good feud. I'm glad they've transitioned into it, but
now we need them to step it up next week and figure out a way to make that embarrassing segment on all accounts, not just Tony getting embarrassed.
No,
everyone looked bad here. They need to find a way to kind of dig out of it. And Tony needs to do something that gets people talking about her and not talking about what Charlotte did to her. That's how I feel. We're being asked, when do we see Asuka coming back to TV again? I think there's still a little bit more time on Asuka before she comes back. She's still
haven't injured. They wrestled 8 million times? I don't want to see those four women wrestle each other ever again. Like,
Asuka was always the odd woman out.
Yeah, like, I don't need to see a combination of Becky, Charlotte, Asuka, Sasha Banks, I guess Bayley. I think I've seen Bayley wrestle them less, but yeah. I don't need to.
So I see JJ saying, like, someone in the back hates Tony, and I don't know if it's necessarily that someone, quote, hates her. It's one of two things. It's either the Vince McMahon, I'm going to break you down and build you up mentality, which is common and not great. I don't love it, but it is a Vince McMahon trope. Or it's more like she needs to advocate for herself. She needs to stand up for herself and her booking, and she's not in that plane yet. There could be some sort of issue at play where she's not confident or she's lost some confidence. I couldn't tell you, but I don't think anyone actively dislikes her. She's just there. Like, she's just there. Sasha and Shayna. And not Sasha and Shayna. It was Natalya and Shayna against Sasha and Naomi. And it was originally supposed to be Sasha and Naomi versus Shayna and Shotzi. Too many shh right now, by the way. Between Sasha.
Maybe that's why they changed it.
Yeah, it's like
Too many sounds, change it.
The announcers are like, I can't do Shayna, Sasha, and Shotzi and Naomi. They just said, forget this. I think Shotzi was out because of Thanksgiving. I also think that they brought in Natalya because they needed someone to take the pin.
Yep. Saying is the winningest person in WWE. Like, woman and, like, in WWE. She's
had a friggin' long career compared to all the women.
Yep.
Oh, man. So that match takes place, and it's all Naomi. It's all, like, Sasha barely gets tagged in. I don't think she gets tagged in at all. And if she does, all she does was do the Meteora to Shayna Baszler outside.
Loves doing that Meteora.
She does. Get them knees out. Either way, 10-minute match. It's good. It's fine. I enjoyed it for what it was. It was good. There wasn't anything there. They aired another Xia Li promo. I think we've talked
about this. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Okay. The story of that match was actually Sonya Deville on commentary the entire time. And there's just the constant back and forth with her and the commentators, which is distracting to me and annoying. I don't like either of the authority figures. Mentioned that a few times now.
By the way, if you ever see me calling her Dollar Store Natty, you know why. it was about Sony on commentary, and at least they were trying to move things forward. One thing, thank you for bringing it up. One thing I liked, she brought up the referee from last week, Aja, and she actually said, like, she's not here. She didn't get the tryout. Like, she didn't get the job, blah, blah, blah. We're sending her back down. I like that they actually tried to put a hole, close the hole in that story. That was good. Anyway, the Xia Li thing, was there anything that you wanted to point out from there? Did we talk about it last week?
We did talk about it last week. We mentioned, like I said, I mentioned that I like the style of the promos. I like the promos themselves. It's just what we ended up landing on is that the Protector is kind of a difficult gimmick to do anything with. Like, well, you're not protecting anything. You're here as a sports competitor. So,
yeah. And on top of that, I think you and I talked about it. The Tian Sha from NXT promos led nowhere.
Yeah, they were also well done packages. Like, whoever's job it is to write and put together those is doing a great job. It's just the concepts themselves aren't, they don't have legs in a wrestling environment.
Here's another example, Aleister Black.
Yeah.
They did weeks worth of really good promos, mixed, some good, some bad, but they did a bunch of promos, and at the end of it, they brought him out, then they released him. So I don't know what we're expecting out of Xia Li. I honestly thought she would be brought out on Friday night, have a squash match, and that would be it. I was convinced, because that's the trope. Bring them out, have a big opening match. Not a big opening match, but have a big squash match, big entrance and all that stuff. And I was like, Xia Li's going to job out to Toni Storm. That's fine. Or other way around. Toni Storm's going to job out to Xia Li. Fine. Yeah,
because that's the thing. You just have her come out as a dominant competitor.
Right.
I don't know. Like, she can't do it now. You're pulling her up after she, like, legit KO'd Mercedes Martinez. Like, you should have just leaned into that. Like, take the negative and, but yeah, exactly.
Who's she going to face first? Is it going to be Natalya or is it going to be Aaliyah?
Yeah.
It's going to be, or she's going to take on Naomi and suddenly Xia Li is like the antithesis of everything she says. Oh, and she's like a sleeper agent for Sonya Deville. And it's actually a big swerve, bro. Battle Royals, they all come out and they're just like, oh, I got in the Battle Royal. It's like the company softball team.
So many entrances for this Battle Royal.
No. But even then, we're backstage and McIntyre walks up
The High School Musical scene. Forgot.
Why didn't I make the team? He didn't make the team. Instead, he's told no. He didn't make the cut. You get it, the cuts, because he's got a sword. And then... they all come out. This is, and like you said, so many entrances. They do, Sami Zayn comes out, and then they do a Viking Raiders entrance, and then a Raw recap, and then McIntyre comes running out, and he's like, I got a sword, bitch!
I'm gonna cut some heads off! And I was like, yes! Do it! Get mad! Cut some heads off!
Sorry, going back to Xia Li. Elliot's saying she's gonna face her greatest rival, Aaliyah. That's fine by me.
Gotta protect her family from Aaliyah.
So the winner of this match gets to face Roman Reigns for the Universal title next Friday. I didn't realize it was that quick. I knew it wasn't.
I didn't hear that confirmed by it, but I assumed.
Yeah. So they were doing that. Either way, they get to the Battle Royal. Drew left of his own volition. A lot of people were up in arms over that.
Weird. It makes sense to me, but show it. Don't tell us, right? Like, it's TV. It's just a weird way to.
It's funny. He wanted to swing the sword and kill everyone, but then he's like, hey, go to the back. He's like, okay, I guess.
Okay. Calm down.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Adam Pearce, who, like, and again, they just. Because Vince McMahon is such a narcissist and is so important, like so focused on being on TV, like they continue to try to make these authority figures have authority that is like beyond Vince McMahon. Like when Sonya was at the desk and she's like, who do you think signs your checks? And Pat McAfee's just like, the guy with the egg.
Exactly.
And she's just like, yeah, but I was in his office. And it's like, okay, shut up. Like, this is so dumb.
I actually really like the guy with the egg thing. It was very funny.
Because Pat McAfee is very, very talented, but he's also like, he doesn't need this. And like, I don't know how much of it he's being told to say or how much just leeway he's given, because he says lots of stuff that like doesn't feel like it's A-okayed by everyone on the commentary. And I really appreciate that. It's a breath of fresh air there. So
we get to the Battle Royal. I see people are talking about it in the chat. There were a whole bunch of people, including Jinder, including Cesaro, and Boogs was in it, and Jeff Hardy was in it, and Mace was in it, Shanky was in it. We all thought Shanky was going to win. He didn't. One thing I liked, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, is when Corbin tossed out Madcap Moss, and they both looked at each other, and I started laughing. I think it was stupid, but it was so
cool. Yeah, it was so fun. That's like the only moment of the Battle Royal that stood out to me. Honestly, is the only one I really remembered, because again, these aren't like interesting to watch from a wrestling perspective because they can't work because there's no room. So it's like,
So we get to the end. Hardy and Corbin are doing their thing, and then Hardy tosses out Corbin over the top rope. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, oh shit, Sami Zayn's still in this thing because he had not gone over the top rope. Sami Zayn gets the win. He wins the Battle Royal. I don't hate it. I don't hate him winning it.
I hated that they played Hardy's music and all that crap.
Now this is the point where if you're not paying full attention, you may have missed it. They didn't really, like, they actively said the title shot is next week in San Antonio. They did say that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they kind of buried it though, because next thing you know, Sami Zayn's getting a title shot next week in San Antonio. And then they come in Kayla Braxton, and the through thread all night is, oh, maybe Brock's suspension has been lifted. Well, she comes in, and I don't like that she does the whole, huh, what was that? Breaking news. Oh, man,
it was corny.
Don't like that. But she says the suspension is lifted, and Sami Zayn's about to get screwed again because Brock's going to come out during the title match. It's going to either be a weird disqualification, or it's going to be like there's going to be some sort of schmoz, and Roman gets the win. And that's fine. I thought before the match was supposed to be scheduled for next week, I thought it was going to be Zayn and Jeff Hardy leading to a number one contendership match and then Hardy getting the win and getting the day one title shot. I'm fine with this, knowing that the title shot is next week, knowing that Brock is coming back and they've already promoted it. Zayn has another thing to bitch about. And next thing you know, they'll have a pretty funny match and a good match. The stakes aren't really there now, but like, it's going to be fine.
We know the result, and then Jeff Hardy will ascend and lose his match, and then we'll get Brock and Roman at WrestleMania.
Exactly. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
So again, I don't hate where we're going.
No.
I just don't.
And like,
I don't like all the ways we got there.
Black Big Pop Penguin's pointing out Sammy's going to be great next week. It'll be a nice one episode thing with Sammy through the entire show. So
his face was absolutely like, he was like, what the hell is this? You know? For anyone talking about Sami Zayn's contract, I want you guys to think about one thing. Cesaro has been with the company for 10 years, has never won a world title, has never been the guy, but continues to re-sign. You know why? Because his priorities are not your priorities for him.
Yeah.
Think about that with Sami Zayn. Think about that with Kevin Owens. With everybody. Not everyone's running to go have ladder matches.
See our previous conversation about Taco Bell. Like, I'll shill Taco Bell if you want. Like,
exactly.
I'll eat it. I'm not a consumer of Taco Bell, but I'll talk up the benefits of Taco Bell if I get paid for it. They don't care. I don't care. Why? Like, let them just do their job.
I was asked the other day of, I think it was four people. It was like Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Who do you think stays? Who do you think goes? I said, well, Kyle O'Reilly. He's done. Game over. He's bye. He's gone as fast as he can. Gargano, I wouldn't be surprised if he renegotiates a contract that ends at the same time as his wife's contract, now that they're out of sync, given that she's pregnant and she's about to go on mat leave. That's why you put them two together. KO, I don't think Kevin Owens is out the door as quickly as people assume.
Not necessarily. No. Like, here's the thing. There are some people who are really like, it just depends like what they've gotten in the past. Like, you got to think about, and we don't know this and we're never going to know this, and I don't really want to talk about it too much, but like, you got to think about how much money they've made, where they're at in their lives, how they've managed that money. Like, someone like Ric Flair kept coming back because he was bad with money. Like, there are people like Pat McAfee who work there who don't need the money at all. They don't care about this paycheck. I wouldn't be surprised if he just donates every cent of it or something. They're just doing it for fun. But there are other people out there who need this money. And like, Kyle O'Reilly's contract on NXT is likely not setting him up for life. So he has the option to go and make probably more money elsewhere, whereas some people like KO, probably not going to make more money elsewhere. Maybe equivalent money, but like also maybe not. Like, there's a big pile of cash in the WWE that is earmarked specifically for wrestling, whereas I don't know that AEW has the same amount of liquidity to throw around for that.
I mean, I think they do because it's coming from one guy with a lot more money than
that's
Vince.
The thing. It's backed differently, which is it is a difficult sell to just like, you know, rich people acquire money because they like hoarding. So So to have it just thrown out without a promise of reinvestment is, or a promise of growth is.
And it's still a story of two very different companies, not only in the product, but also in their development. You have to remember, WWE is a publicly owned company. Things are very much in the open because they have to be. AEW doesn't have to do shit when it comes to their performance financially. They're a private company. It's yep. Tony Khan and his and those guys, the EVPs, they don't have to discuss or disclose anything when it comes to how much talent is making or what the talent budget is, how many, what their overhead is like. They don't. And yeah, that's exactly. an advantage and a disadvantage. Tony, again, I've said it on this show. Tony said it himself when talking to Wade Keller. He said, there will be a day when we have to release talent. That is just the reality. That's sports. That's any sport in the world will have releases. I'm watching yep. hockey do it all the time. I'm watching, they do it in football. They do it in baseball. It doesn't matter. They do it everywhere. When it comes to wrestling, when it comes to, who are we talking about? Kevin Owens specifically. And you think about Sami Zayn, you think about the careers they both had. I don't think they're rushing to another company to go do ladder wars. And when I yeah. say that, I don't mean that in a negative way. I just don't think that they're running to AEW to do those types of matches so quickly.
Yeah,
I think that wrestling has been built for so long as this place where you do all the work until the one thing, the one gimmick or the one thing you're known for pays for the rest of your life. Ron Simmons is now known as the guy who shows up and says,
damn.
And that gets him so much more money than being work rate Ron Simmons ever did.
Yeah. And like, that's, it's just the thing there. I'm not saying that there aren't people who are like really like, that's the sanctity of the art type thing. There are absolutely people like that who will like stand by their principles and step away if it doesn't jive with them for less money. It's not. I'm just saying it's not the majority.
Yeah. And I get that other people might be screaming at themselves because if they're watching an audio form or screaming at the screen, saying things like, well, you know, what's going to stop WWE from cutting Kevin Owens right after they have him sign a new contract? I got to be perfectly honest, folks. There are certain people that are not going to be given that level of disrespect if they re-sign.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to happen to Big E tomorrow if he re-signs a contract. It's not going to happen to Kevin Owens. It's not going to happen to Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is beloved not only by everyone in the locker room, but by Vince. Like,
specifically.
Vince specifically both loves and hates Sami Zayn at the same time. Like, yeah. It's very actively known. I think a lot of people put stock in what they want to see over what the wrestlers themselves are. Like, again, these people are not bots at your whim. I used that in a tweet yesterday talking about wrestling media. They're not bots at your whim.
This isn't your management sim game, you know, like
it's not TEW.
Oh my God. Like, I don't understand why there's so many of those management sim games. I mean, I would have loved that as a child, but I can't do it now.
I'm currently doing one with Jeremy Lambert over on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. And like, it drives me absolutely bonkers. Jeremy loves it because there's storytelling for him to like do. He's got all these ideas in his head and I'm just like, oh, fucking Triple H and Undertaker.
Like, I prefer the games. Like, I like management games just fine if there's also like a, you know, like the 2K games, if they were better. Like, yeah. It's fine if I can also, you know, wrestle match now and again with a guy, like, you know, actually do something other than just read text on a screen. But, you know, I don't know, different strokes. It's not right. bad or anything.
And like, we're not, listen, I don't think anyone in the chat, like things were attacking them. I'm really not.
No.
Opinions are your own. I wish more people would understand that, like, it's great if you want to see them go somewhere, but like to actively make it like, oh, it's got to be happening. I don't think it's so fresh and cut. That's all.
Yeah. Like, one thing, I'm coming at this from the approach of strictly employment and nothing else. Like, it's easy to moralize about it or talk about like principles or goals or the characters and what they're doing with those characters when this has nothing to do with how you pay your bills.
Yeah.
Whereas for these people, they're actual human people who do have those considerations. So.
Yeah. I mean, listen, let them get the money. Let them get it. So the whole point of what we were talking about with this Sami Zayn, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Jeff Hardy, and I'll throw in King Woods. These are all people who could realistically face Roman Reigns. Is there one out of that group that you really want to see? Is there one that you're like, let's cut them out? What are you thinking when it comes to Roman's next opponents leading it really into WrestleMania season? I'm not telling you book till WrestleMania. Don't do that. It's like, who do you want? Who would you like to see?
How many pay-per-views do we have till Mania? We got day one, we got the Rumble, and then what else?
There's one in February, I think, and then there's like a fast lane, and I think Mania is the beginning of April this year. I'll pull up the calendar.
Yeah. So I don't know. It sounds like we need them all. Sami Zayn is going to be a one and done, I think, on Friday.
Okay, so right now there is nothing officially on the calendar February and March because the 29th of January is the Rumble. So like that's basically a pay-per-view in February because you've got Jan 1 and then you've got the end of the month.
Yeah, exactly. So that is the February one.
And then Mania is April 2nd. So that's another reason why.
Maybe they're keeping it light.
Fine by me.
Yeah, same. I agree. I think that would be a better thing. I would love to see a Rumble straight to the Mania thread, but I don't know. We'll see if we get that.
Do a bunch of bigger TV leading up to it. Yeah. I don't necessarily trust WWE to do it.
No,
but if they have that they can't space, book. They got to find a way to book it.
That's the thing. They can't book 5 weeks, but God, it'd be nice to with a 5 week build to WrestleMania. I think that'd be great, but God knows they won't do it or they won't do it well.
So realistically, you've got two opponents and then one at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So I would say for sure, Jeff Hardy. I don't know. I think, like I said, I think Sami Zayn's a one and done on Friday. I don't need to see Xavier Woods, but I wouldn't be surprised by them doing that.
I think they just kind of tossed Woods out after the big
match. I think so too. Like, I think it's over. I think that was just a build to the Survivor Series thing.
Which I don't love it. I don't. Like, wanted to see Woods and Roman have another go at it without any of the schmoz finishes, which we could still do. Could
you're not going to get time. It. I expect when Kofi returns, Xavier will show up again and they'll go back to having tag matches to pop the children. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's it.
And again, congratulations to Kofi Kingston. His wife just gave birth to a baby girl. Congrats. Yay. That's why he's been off TV. For those who didn't know. So booking backwards, Brock at Mania, I think so.
100% that's what's happening. He's not going to win the Rumble. I don't think Brock's winning the Rumble because I don't think he needs to. He can just step in and have his title match. Somebody I don't else. Like that. You don't like that he's just going
to
step
in? Oh, no. You know what? I do. I messed myself up because I was about to say Goldberg, but it's not Goldberg and Big E at Mania. It's Goldberg and Big E at the Rumble. Sorry.
Yeah, that sounds more likely to me. And then they just, you know, I think the Rumble is such a strong opportunity to just, you know, actually build new talent that like it's squandered if you have someone like Brock step in and just take it. Not that they haven't done that 80 times already, but like,
what do you do? Riddle wins the Rumble and then Randy Orton wins the title. And then you do Randy versus Riddle and it's completely out of the blue.
That'd be funny.
Although I don't know. Yeah. I think it's an interesting piece, but so Brock at the Rumble for Roman, or sorry, Brock at WrestleMania for Roman. Who gets the Rumble match for Roman? Shinsuke?
No, I don't think they're ever going to go back to that. I think it was either going to happen last night or no, they wrote something halfway decent and they didn't get to it because they never do. Ridiculous. Oh man, I don't know. Roman Royal Rumble.
But I mean, you could do Roddy Strong. No, I mean, so day one, I've been harping it since forever. I've been saying it's Jeff Hardy and Roman Reigns in a TLC.
And I think that's a certainty. It might be Drew.
Oh, fuck me. No, it's Drew. It's Drew at the Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It is Drew. That's what this week and the attempted murder was getting attempted getting murder. Us towards.
Yeah. That makes the most sense. It's Drew. It's got to be Drew with the Rumble. It's got to be Jeff. Or they can flip it. I mean,
yeah, they could flip it. I don't think it will. No.
Yeah, exactly. Regardless, I think that's where it's at. It sucks that King Woods is out of the equation. That's all.
Yeah.
Drew's the guy.
Like, anyway. Look, if you want to build King Woods, here's my perspective. Because like Xavier Woods is fine. I don't see him as a main event competitor right now. You want to build him, have him win the Rumble. Have him face Big E. To hell with it. Like,
yeah, I get you. So that's that's SmackDown. We got through it. I mean, we spent a little bit more time than I think we expected, but we also went on a tangent.
Yeah, a whole lot of things. A lot of tangents.
We're about to do another tangent, but first, my little tangent is, go ahead, toss a thumbs up here on this video. Go ahead, do it. Leave a thumbs up if you do it right now.
Thumb it.
Thumb up. All the things. Leave a comment, good or bad. I don't care. You can trash us. Tell us we're wrong about how we feel about people and their money. I don't give a damn. You can do it. I just trash us if you want, but you know, say nice things too, because I'm a fragile soul. And then subscribe to the channel here at timandjoelpod.com. Go ahead. And of course, Discord, description, link it, get it. Go, come on. Dynamite. We open up Dynamite with a very interesting promo battle between CM Punk and MJF. Tim, it's the second week in a row, by the way, that they've opened up Dynamite with a promo.
Ooh, this was the right call. This should have opened it. It made sense. I was very incorrect. Last week I was saying, I don't think they do the talk yet. Nope, they went for it full on right away. I was like, oh, early. Okay, that's fine. I guess they got a lot to say.
If you go to the AEW website and you look up any of the results, especially from this one, they have like a transcript of the promo, and God bless the AEW website for that.
That's great.
Like they have the promo, not like verbatim, because no, MJF says a lot of extra shit, but like they have all the bullet points written out in quote form. It's perfect. It's exactly as it was. I like it.
The high marks in that promo off were very solid. Like, I saw a lot of talk about the whining over the WWE references, and it's like, oh, what do you want? Like, they've been the only major televised wrestling program for like 20 years in the US. Piss off. Like, there's literally nothing else to reference.
I agree. Other people have made reference to this, and I'll pile on. Like, not only was WWE the only game in town for the longest time, like you said, there's TNA, of course, but yeah, in terms of like where these guys have worked.
A few thousand people, sure.
Come on. They had a million once upon a time.
Well, good for them.
I hear the TNA fans yelling at me already. Yeah. Anyway, CM Punk's world revolved around his WWE stint for a long time.
Of course it did.
His biggest moments, his leaving, like it was all about that. So I don't hate them referencing WWE when it makes sense.
It'd be weird if they didn't.
Right. You can't live in your own universe, and I use that term with intention, when you don't have the history of a universe.
No. Exactly. They just don't have that much of an ecosystem to draw from. And, you know, they also referenced the UFC, and apparently CM Punk did comic books and movies, which MJF very correctly said no one saw, because I have never heard of this.
I knew about the comic books. I knew about the movie.
Yeah, because you were like nerd.
B-grade horror. Because
you were nerd. That's, I didn't follow CM Punk at all. I watched him lose at UFC. That was it. And then be like, ha, what a dork.
What did you think of the promo overall? Was it
loved
as
it.
Good
really
as you
enjoyed
think?
It.
You did.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was strong. I think, you know, like MJF used a lot of transition stuff, but I mean, it's nerve-wracking, right? This is your big moment. Like, this has been building for him, for his career, for so long. And he is legitimately in there with one of his heroes doing like the thing he's best at. I think that the high parts were so well put together. Like the less famous Miz line, excellent. Followed by calling him John Cena, it was like well put together and warranted. Like, he's not wrong. Like, that was a very spot on takedown of what CM Punk's been doing since he got back.
So. And it's not the first time they've made that reference, right? Because Kingston was doing the same thing with Punk a couple of weeks ago, yep, leading into their match Full Gear. So I don't mind the linking. I kind of like it. I think the promo went a little longer. I think MJF at one point got a little lost and started talking in circles.
It didn't need to be as long as it was, because the meat of it, you know, gut. I'm talking in circles, but
but it's true. It was, they started, they didn't get to the meat of it. They started kind of adding fat to it, and I was sitting there like, I'm looking at Twitter timeline, and they're just like, this is the best thing ever, and I'm like, is it really the best thing ever?
Some of MJF's face was like excellent through all of it. Like, I really enjoyed his reactions and his like utter look of dejection with like the poster on the wall type thing.
Yes. I don't like them finding new ways to not anagram, basically use MJF as an acronym. They're finding different ways to do it. It's kind of good. That's boring.
I hope
to me,
that kind of dies with this, because that didn't need, my jealous fan.
I was like, okay. And that I liked. It's like fine. Again, context matters, and they do a good job of giving you that context.
Just never do it again now. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You did a good job here. Like,
how does someone who is straight edge look like a meth addict?
Oh, right. Very good. It's funny.
Then again,
like,
there was good stuff.
MJF keeps going to meth, though. Like, it's like, how much? Methany, like, what's this about? Yeah.
So, and this is, like, Punk is chilling in the corner. He just doesn't give a damn. And I pointed this out to you before we went live. The way they shot this was really strange, too.
It was curious from, like, a film perspective.
Yes. So for those who don't know, if you watched, again, I'll make the WWE comparison. When you're watching WWE, they're all performing to the hard cam. Everything is to here. It's not to the fans behind you. It's not to the fans to the sides. It's directly to the camera addressing the people at home. That's what your audience is. In AEW, they kind of want that as well, but they found ways to kind of circumvent that or not make it the apex of your attention is not always the hard camera. So if you watch the promo back, and you can, it's on the AEW YouTube, you'll see that MJF has his back to the hard camera and Punk is in the far corner. You can see him clear as day. But whenever they have to get a shot of MJF, they have to do what they call breaking the axis. We're not going to get into that, to get MJF's reaction shots. And it's just an awkward, tight shot that they have to take. And it's a shaky looking camera. And that is, like, it's both great and it's also grating.
Yeah. Like, if look at some of the close-ups on either of their face when they're going back and forth, it's mostly earlier before MJF starts pushing towards the center. Like, it's jarring when it cuts from one camera to the other. Yes. That being said, like, they did get some really interesting two shots with it, especially that camera in the crowd on the hard cam position, the roving camera.
I like that.
There was some really cool stuff there.
But. Yeah. They found a way to use that jib cam in a way that's not the traditional, just like swing it overhead. Instead, they're using it as like a dolly, and it's cool. It's a really
nice like a effect. Crowd perspective too, which is interesting. Yeah. Like, you're at eye level for someone in the front rows of the audience.
Yeah. So they're talking about it's PG Punk, it's not CM Punk, and, you know, hustle, loyalty, respect. You talked about the John Cena reference. And then Punk, of course, they're in Chicago, so he's got to do the "you're a New York guy, you made the New York Times" with the song and dance, but this is Chicago and you're jealous and I did all this and, you know, this is the second city. And I like that he's, you know, he's getting the fans behind him. It's doing a good job. And then he pulls out the "Tony has to have a daughter for you to marry" line. And I'm like, okay, it's a shot of Triple H. It's cute. I like it. And that's it. And then eventually,
well, we all know the real Triple H of AEW is Cody Rhodes, but
that's
anyway.
Right. Cause wrestling has more than one royal family, Tim.
Yeah.
We'll talk about him soon. And then they have the match and it's QT Marshall versus CM Punk.
Sure.
Match is fine. It's
fine.
It's good. Sure. Punk gets the win. No shock there. No distractions, no nothing. And then my favorite part is that afterwards, JR says something like, "This young upstart QT Marshall."
He was like that through the whole match. He was treating QT Marshall like he was some upstart, like
23-year-old blue chipper QT Marshall. Oh boy, Punk gets the win. Good match. Again, it went long. It went long, especially with the promo. I think if you touch
especially
on the match
for
a bit,
it being QT Marshall
doing. I was joking around like during the promo, like QT Marshall sitting in the back just being like, "Is my match still happening? What are we doing? We cutting time? What's going on here?"
He's like waiting. He's like, "I was warm. Now I'm cold again. Like,
go get me the bands.
Like,
go get the bands." Oh, Christian Cage, Jurassic Express. You think anyone's turning heel anymore?
I don't even remember what happened.
Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are number one contenders for tag titles.
Oh.
And Christian Cage is like, "I'm going to make sure you win the tag titles." Are they going to break bad? Is that what we're doing? Christian Cage is going to be like, "I'm going to get the concerto," and Jungle Boy is going to be at odds again with this, and that's the turn. What are
the only way that I see that being in the realm of possibility is because Jurassic Express has their new theme inbound, and it's like a sweeping orchestral Jurassic Park reference by Ruckus, because he posted what he was working on.
Right.
And I was like, how does this work as a wrestling theme? Because it is not Jungle Boy's theme, I'll tell you that much. Like, it is very odd for Jurassic Express to get this big orchestral piece, and it's like, oh, okay, so maybe
I think the orchestra thing is kind of a side project, but it's still an AEW project for Ruckus. He's been talking about it, but I haven't really heard much about it.
It's very like Jurassic. It's like John Williams. Like, gotcha. I was like, oh, okay, I don't.
I think okay. they recorded most of it at like Daly's place or something, if I remember yeah. correctly, in the amphitheater.
So I don't know what he's working on with that, but we'll see.
I like this comment from Fordor saying this match was exactly what it needed to be. It proved what MJF was saying by Punk not being able to put him away right away. That and that's true. QT Marshall took some time. So again, yeah. little things like that make sense. With AEW, people give them a little bit more rope because they tend to pay off some stuff quicker or at least more efficiently than other companies.
More frequently, but not always.
Speaking of which, Colton Gunn and Billy Gunn, the Billy Ass and the Ass Boys, they yeah. take on Bear Country.
For some reason.
Don't know why it happened, but I guess they want to get Bear Country some building more on-screen
time. Boys is because the ass because Danhausen has made Billy Ass and the Ass Boys. Now they have to push him.
Well, no, I love that we both said the opposite but true thing at the same time. So you're saying Billy Gunn and Colton Gunn and Austin Gunn, they need a push because of Danhausen. I also think it's because they're people are starting to ask, hey, remember when they turned heel? Whatever happened yeah, there? Exactly. And Tony's like, that's, shit, I should probably
shave this crap, off. I forgot this thread.
Well, here we go. TK, if you're watching, what happened to Jack Evans? Where's his hair at? Let me see it. I want to see it on TV, on one of the shows. TK's going to be like, shit, go shave his head. Bear Country, I think they're just trying to give them reps on TV instead yeah, of on yeah. Dark and Elevation.
Yeah.
Fine by me. And of course, this is all leading towards next week when it's going to be Billy Gunn and Colton Gunn taking on Sting and Darby Allin.
Old man, young promo. Man fight. Old man, son fight.
It's good. That's right. Old man and his son having
father fights. Son fight. Father son fight night. There we go.
Fine by me. God, such a big fan of that match. The shoulder tackle from Darby when he came out 100 miles an hour. Cute. Love yeah, it.
They replayed it so many times because it's always good.
It looks so good. I'm such a fan of that. Bobby Fish, Adam Cole are best friends, and they're not the real best friends. They've got best friends. I'm excited because next week, best friends are going to have the odds evened up on them when Kyle O'Reilly makes his debut in Duluth, Georgia, a day after his contract with NXT ends.
Can't wait.
Telling you. And then in a very shocking turn of events, Dante Martin signs with Team Taz.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. Interesting swerve. I'll let it play out.
He's like, shut up, Leo. Give me them chips.
Give me them book. Chips. Yeah, the chip back. I was like, what the? First of all, they're not eating a lot of chips. Nobody, maybe Taz. But like Hook just offering the chip. Well, maybe Hook. Have we seen Hook's torso?
Oh, it's delightful, is what it is.
Oh, so you've seen it. He's as dehydrated as everyone else. So I don't understand why he's eating chips. But anyway,
he's eating chips because he can, Tim. Because he's like 16 years old and still has the body.
Oh, he is just a boy. Yeah.
He's not a boy. He's 20 something. But anyway, he's 18. Oh, well, 19. What the point is,
his Hook day is will come. Shape.
His day yeah. will come, but it's not there yet. He can eat all the shit in the world and he'll still have abs. And it's upsetting to everyone who has abs and are older, but that's just the way it goes. It's called metabolism and we're fudged.
Yeah, it sucks.
Hook is awesome, though.
Hook is awesome.
Hear me out.
He was very smooth on that chip offering. It did look great on camera. I'll give him that.
Hook and Dante Martin as a tag team. Just saying.
I feel bad for Darius Martin.
Darius is great. He's playing it up on socials now. Because he's going to have a part in this when he comes back.
He better. I hope he's not getting forgotten about in all this.
I really don't think he is. I think as he gets closer,
so good.
I think there's a lot more consideration as to what they're going to do with Darius when he comes back.
Yeah.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
I mean, that's what happens. that's not... Yeah, well, duh. I'm just saying, you know, they're in there. I just can't drink water for several days and then you can see them.
Follow Tim Stone P on Instagram.
I'm not going to do that for Instagram. I would like to remain hydrated. I have a baby to care for.
Oh, man. Jamie Hayter versus TR Thunder Rosa. What do you think? Was it a fun match for you?
Yeah, it was good. Solid weird end, I guess. Like, okay.
We're starting to get to the DMD versus Jamie Hayter, or at least not the breakup, but at least the dissension.
Yeah. Feels quick to me, but it's fine.
And then... Jamie would come out on Rampage on Friday night with DMD and Rebel and just kind of stand there, which, you know, sure, it continues the story. She's being thoughtful, but not present. Fine by me.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get to the Friendsgiving because, again, theming. and then she's absent from that. And it's like, okay.
She's not the same friend as Tony Schiavone is, Tim.
Who is no longer invited. He ruined all of their events.
Can you blame him? He was told to play the tape. Can't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, I guess not.
Poor people. Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa is moving on to the next,
no next surprise. Match
in the TBS title. And yeah, so 2.0 Danny Garcia, they interrupt Jericho. Nobody gets a promo off, by the way, except for JB and Luchasaurus and Christian Cage. Everyone else gets interrupted because Eddie Kingston gets interrupted. Everyone gets interrupted.
While he's eating.
What I do like is that Jericho is interrupted by these guys, and then he comes in at the end of Rampage, spoiler alert, and makes the save. It's nice. He's part of it.
I liked it. Again, I will reiterate, I really dislike having three people with like skin in the game on commentary. Like it's boring and annoying to me to hear Jericho and Taz and Ricky Starks, who is part of Taz's faction, talk about, you know, competing and like all that. I find it irritating. And their past, like,
I'm fine with Taz.
I'm fine Taz with Starks. Is great. Keep Taz. I don't like Starks on there. I hate it. I really do. When they added Ricky Starks, I was very irritated. Like, I don't like Taz and Starks together because they have a thing. Like,
I don't hate it. I hate Jericho being there because he just yells in my face for an hour.
And he makes the same weird pugilist joke because he's just like, ha ha, pugilist. He also, Jericho continues to, like, every time Taz mentions like a body part, Jericho seems to think he's taking the piss by like calling him out on making up words, but like Taz is like 100% correct in his anatomy conversation every single time.
Taz has been doing it a long time. He should know.
Taz knows anatomy. Like, he does quite well. Like,
which is amazing because Taz's anatomy is completely different from that of the regular human.
He does have an odd physiology.
But him, like, and Rhino are the same physiology.
Jericho is like a dumbass who thinks he's a smart guy, and it's very irritating on commentary.
Well, so here's a comment from Supersonic saying, fun match between Jamie and Thunder Rosa, but the ending is weird. Jamie is definitely turning on
MJF. Yeah, that's what they're setting up.
And what if, though? What if it's not that? What if it's all leading towards Thunder Rosa winning the TBS title, Britt Baker still has the AEW title, and the big question becomes, whose side will Jamie Hayter be on leading into a match, say, well, it can't be Battle of the Belts because I think it's after that TNT title or TBS title. Either way, I think the story becomes whose side is she on? And then ultimately it's a swerve and she's back with DMD.
Could be that. Yeah, it could be down the line, Jamie Hayter versus whoever the TBS champion is, and DMD doesn't want to share the spotlight and cost Jamie Hayter her eventual title shot for that.
Could do that.
Second tier title, I think that'd be okay.
But are we turning one of them? Are we turning maybe Britt Baker for a change?
No, I think Britt Baker remains heel. I think we turn Jamie, but I think that's a better story, and it happens later on, which I appreciate. So Jamie squashes the beef from this. They continue to be the best of friends for a little while until Jamie ultimately gets her first TBS title shot. And then DMD screws her out of it, which leads to them having a feud, which I think is more interesting and long term. Like I said, I hate when they put people together and they split them within like less than 6 months. Drives me nuts.
Fine by me. I like that a lot better than the idea I just had. Perfect.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the Americanson, Dragonson, Bryanson, Danielson beats the shit out of the Dark Orderson in their hometownson.
Poor Colt Cabana.
Poor Coltson, Boom Boomson, Cabanason. Oh, kicks his teeth out. Kicks him in the head and kicks his teeth out, Tim.
Such weird a good looking match. Tooth. Was it a molar?
Felt like a back tooth. It felt like
a back tooth. Yeah, it was definitely a molar.
Like, Nate chipped his tooth. I was also like, that's the cap of a tooth. That is not a tooth full.
It looked like it was deep. It was like a long tooth. Like it had the stem.
No, I thought it was like this. I thought it was
maybe it was just the okay, yeah. I don't know. It was weird looking. I thought it was a piece of gum when I first saw it.
So did I. And then I saw him pick it up and I was just like, oh no, that's teethies. Bryanson is like, hey, listen. I'm gonna be in Georgia next week, and I'm like, great, him and five.
I hear there's two of you.
Someone pointed out that it should be 10 as well, and they should do two matches. Do one for Dynamite, and then do one for Rampage.
They're doing that. They're absolutely doing that. He said there's two of you from Georgia.
They're not. There's multiple from Georgia, and they've already announced the Rampage card for next week. Aww. And it includes a 2 out of 3 falls match with FTR and Lucha Bros.
So, which, okay, and Lucha Bros are having the fight that I thought was going to be FTR and Proud and Powerful. Like,
so what's funny is that you may not know this or remember this. There's a AAA show like 2 days after it's on Saturday. And Rampage is on Friday. It's not live, it's taped. But like they're airing a match between Lucha Bros and FTR on the Friday. And then on the Saturday for the AAA titles, it's FTR and Lucha Bros again for those AAA tag titles. So it's gonna be something. I'm excited. It's gonna be a good match.
I like these two going at it. Like I said, I just thought this was going to be FTR Proud and Powerful before the injury.
Could be afterwards. Who knows? But right now with Danielson and Allen Angels, 5 from the Dark Order, are going to have the match. 5 is from Georgia, so it makes sense. And then next week or the week after that on Long Island, this is where you could do the Rampage and Dynamite thing. You do Silver on one show, Reynolds on the other, because they're both from Long Island. So that's fine. And then the next week is Winter is Coming, and I assume because it's in Texas, that's cowboy country, cowboy shit, do Hangman Page. That's title shot.
Insensitive for them to do a Winter is Coming in Texas after last year.
They couldn't do it anywhere else.
Well, whatever. Your power grid got you what you got. Stop voting for those people.
Oh, man. Well, that's coward shit, Tim, is what that, that is.
Yeah, okay.
AAA card is going to be good, but I wouldn't have a lot of stock in AAA putting on a good show at the end. I'll be watching because I love to laugh at Triple Mania, especially when they do the second one and the third one of the year. It's always fun. So now we're at the main event. Yeah. Lucha Bros. And Cody.
Also Pac.
And Pac. They take on FTR, Malakai Black, and Andrade. And holy shit, dude. It was a great match for like 7 out of 8 competitors. Cody absolutely gets shot on Chicago. He was cheered at first, and then the boos took over.
Yeah, because I think they peer pressured the people who were cheering him.
They really did. Cody throws the weight belt out into the crowd.
And the guy grabs it and keeps it. He seems like he has every intention of keeping it. And the crowd shames him into throwing it back.
They chant, throw it back. And they're like, okay. And he throws it back. And it hits
Tom Edwards. Because he didn't want to die.
Cody is so out of place. That's right.
Yeah, Chicago. He comes out in his finest fashy gear, you know, with his big, nice. His big amped up entrance, all alone compared to the other three. And then, and he's just like, what the hell? Like, you see him mouth, what the hell to Penta? He's just like, they really hate you.
And then, whatever. He throws it again. They throw it back. But then, Andrade takes the belt and, like, throws it under the ring. Like,
yeah! Put it under here with all the other trash.
Absurd. I love it. This is what you do. You know what? I would have kept the weight belt. I would have. You know why? Because I could have hawked it afterwards.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but you know, you have to face the wrath of a full Chicagoan crowd. Like
they don't play there. Again, it was such a fun match. It was a really good match for 7 out of 8 of the guys.
It was for an 8-man tag main event. I enjoyed it. Yeah, the big takeaway was like, wow, people really hate Cody, and like, we rip on Cody. He's had some bad moments. But like, damn, it's gotten to a weird level where it's now a game within a game. And like,
Mousetrap?
I don't know. Like, what do you do with that? Like, as Cody, like when you first start getting these boos, the writing on the wall is, okay, maybe I got to turn heel in order to keep doing something, which he refused to do. And now he's got this such a curious level of heat that I'm just like, what do you do?
They're going to show it, or maybe they already did, but it's on the AEW YouTube page. So first of all, we know who wins the match, right? It's Andrade pins Pac.
Yeah, he gets his win back because he ate that pin. So. As it was.
So yeah, so they did show it on Rampage. Cody took a DDT from Andrade to the floor, and that's what's setting up.
I also didn't even know that happened.
So yeah, it was on their YouTube. They put it on Rampage because it's setting up for their Dynamite Street Fight, the Atlanta Street Fight, which I don't know what that is. What it's constitutes nothing. A street fight?
AEW continues to. This is one thing I'll criticize AEW a lot for. Like, they continue to just say insert whatever street fight, and it's nothing. Like
the city here street fight.
Yeah, like I don't know what's a street fight in Atlanta. It just sounds like a shooting. Like,
oh dear, that was also in Chicago. But here's one thing. When we're talking about Cody taking that DDT. I don't think they showed the whole thing, but if you watch the full content on AEW YouTube, you'll see he gets up and he starts walking towards the back, and he's so confused by like the reception he's getting by the crowd, and he's so upset. He's like, man, like, what is going on? What is wrong with me? And he goes towards the heel tunnel, and then he redirects himself back to the face tunnel. So it's 4D chess. It really is.
Like, I do think he is going that way. He's got to do it. Like, there's no other way around it at this point. Like, the crowd has decided, and you either turn heel and do something. And like I said, if you turn this into, you are like a blissfully unaware, like, fashy kind of bastard, maybe you can do something interesting with that. But like, it's also risky. But yeah, he's got too much heat. Like, it's just so weird. And I don't like, what do you do with him? Like, he's just like the heat he has is this level of obliviousness. Yeah. Like, the reason that people hate him, like the way that they do, is not because he's like a terrible wrestler or anything. It's how unaware he is of like such simple things. Like, he's unaware that his gear is he's overly patriotic to an audience that doesn't necessarily eat into that stuff. Like, he's not doing they're not doing the tribute for the troops stuff that WWE is. They're not that type of organization, even if they might think they are. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, my one concern is if he turns, people are going to cheer him now. Or maybe. Are they going to play along? Or are they going to play along?
I think they might play along because I don't know. Like, I for one, like, I still respect Cody, like, you know, he put together AEW. It's just, I think he overestimates his own capability. Like, he's not the guy he used to be. And it's really frustrating that he thinks that he's this like tremendous in-ring talent. And I just don't think he's got it like how much he thinks he does. So like, and like the over the top entrances are just like really self-congratulatory in a way that's just like, you didn't earn this anywhere, bud. Like, you really weren't like big shit anywhere. As far as I know, like, was he like a huge guy somewhere on the indies that I'm not familiar with?
Who?
Cody. Like, did he have like this massive New Japan run or something? Did he have like a Ring of Honor dominant? Like, he was never top guy anywhere. And he's acting like him having the authority to be like, I'm going to be the top guy, and then coming out like he is what's doing it. It's like, it's this undeserved pomp that is getting him this heat.
Right. And I agree, like, with you. The indie run that he had is the one that set up AEW.
Yeah. Which is all well and good, but like, you're patting yourself on the back so, so hard, and it's just not deserved, and it's lacking self-awareness. Yeah. Like, it just didn't happen for you, guy. It's fine. You also then went on to co-create like a serious, strong competitor to WWE. Like, you have other skills. Like, you don't need to be the best wrestler ever.
Yeah, and I agree with the comment. He'll get cheered for the turn, and then he'll get people to boo, because that is ultimately what he's going to have to do.
Which, and I think it'll be good. I think it's the right move, and I think he could develop a very good character if he is listening. And he seems like he's not a stupid guy. I think he does listen. So I think he could create something really special out of this turn. And if you choose it right and build it right, you can get people to still boo you.
The Insert City Street Fight will continue to feature items invented in that city. So Atlanta, we're going to have Coca-Cola, lemon pepper wings, and strippers. Fine by me. Thank you, Four Door Soup. Absolutely. That is the way. That's how we're going to do the Atlanta Street Fight. And relics of WCW might show up.
Yeah.
Rampage was also on Friday. They did Kingston Garcia. They did Britt Baker and Riho. We'll talk about that. And they did the tag match. Adam Cole, hashtag Baybay. I don't know why. I don't get why the AEW website has the hashtag Baybay for him and nobody else. And then So Bay Bay and Bobby Fish versus the best friends, Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta. That opens up the show. A fine match? I don't know.
Yeah,
what did you think?
It's fine.
We're all just kind of leaning.
Bobby Fish was also excellent again in this match. Like, he's surprising the hell out of me. I just didn't know because he didn't show this to me on NXT, but he's excellent.
The Avalanche Falcon Arrow that he hits for the win at the end of the match, very tremendous. You're
so
right.
Good.
The man is 40, but he doesn't work like he's 40 in
he's
this
still quick.
Company.
He's very quick in this company. Yeah.
In the but other company, he worked like he was 40, and that's damning. That is.
Yeah.
Can't do
it. Yeah. I mean, honestly, same with Bryan Danielson. Like, I didn't know. I much prefer this, you know, American Dragonson, Bryanson Danielson.
That's right. Yeah, make Bobby Fish the AAA champion. He's in a six-way match for the Mega Campeón because Kenny Omega had to vacate it.
Do it.
Yeah, there you go. Bobby Fish, AAA champion. Sounds absolutely terrible, and I'm all for it. Tony Schiavone interviews the premier athlete, Tony Nese, and he's wearing his Tony, I am Tony Nese sweater.
Tracksuit thing. Yeah.
And he's going to get a shot at the TNT title against Sammy Guevara. You got to do the thing.
Sammy, I don't care. This will probably be good. I don't know. I'm hoping that Tony Nese shows me that there's more to Tony Nese than what I saw in NXT as well, or whatever he was in. 205?
What? 205. Nese drops Sammy and then says, the reason why you haven't, basically says, like, the reason why you haven't been tested is because I wasn't around. I liked the line. It was actually quite good.
Yeah, it's fine.
So I look forward to them having a good match next week. It'll be better than last week's, or the match 2 weeks ago that Sammy had when he defended his title. Black Friday deal match, Tim, your favorite gimmick match ever.
Theming. It was nothing.
As I like to call it, an AEW championship contenders match between Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Riho. They finally are trying to pay off the Riho didn't get eliminated spot from All Out. I'm fine with it. They like that they call back. It sounded like they kind of had to get to it because people were bringing up stuff like Jack Evans. Why didn't we see him with his haircut after he got his haircut? Tony Khan, by the way, I'd like to see Jack Evans with his haircut. Please show me his haircut. Or the Gun Club turning heel, and now we're finally getting that payoff because, again, they did that. Or my personal favorite, Pac and Cody, where Pac thought Cody was going to be a shit father, and then they dropped it. Anyway, Riho and DMD have a good match. There was a lot of talk about Riho's believability and whether or not
she's tiny. As JR pointed out so many times when she was having her first TV run.
There's an argument for and against beating your champion in this case. The argument against it is obvious. That's a WWE trope. We see it often. Beat the champion, get the title shot. They're doing that here. I don't love it. The other side of it is because AEW doesn't have, they don't have the track record of doing this or doing it wrong. Britt Baker has been pinned by Riho 3 times.
As commentary pointed out, which is the only, like, that they get a pass for that then, in my opinion, because this makes sense. Like, Rio's just had the upper hand on Britt, and, like, you know, there's so many different pathways to becoming a champion by beating other competitors or, you know, tournaments where you never face certain competitors. I think that makes sense. So I think this is fine. Britt needs challengers, so let's set up another challenger.
Would you want it to be a former AEW women's champion, or would you rather they be building other people to take that spot?
I'm fine with it being a former AEW women's champion. Like, Rio's been off TV as a focal point for a little while. Like, you still need to keep building people. Like, some of the people who have the most potential aren't at the level that I think they need to be at to really go right now. So I think this makes sense. Like, Britt became champ when there are people on the up, but, like, they're not quite there yet. So I think we'll see that soon.
So we're going to have Riho versus Britt Baker somewhere down the line. I think next week is what they said, or
soon. I think it is Wednesday.
Fine by me. I don't know. Are there any other titles on the line next week? Oh, the TNT title. Yeah.
Oh, Guevara yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we just talked about it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe they'll have Riho and Baker main event if it was the only title on the line, but because we might see it at Winter is Coming if it's not next week. I didn't check to see what the title what the The lineup is for next week. But either way, when they do it, it might actually main event the show, because that's something that I like to do. If a title's on the line, it main events the show. It's on Rampage, the TNT title match.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, okay. They're like...
Dude, I'm confused.
I don't know. They kept hyping matches like the TBS. There's no TBS title match on Friday, I guess. Or there wasn't one. And then they're like, the next one's on Wednesday because it's the main show. But anyway.
TK keeps doing this thing where he now puts all of his hype behind the Rampage. Like, he announces stuff there instead. Dynamite on Wednesday. We're going to run this down again when we do our show on Wednesday. The Street Fight, Bryanson versus Angels, TBS Tournament, Kristaps versus Ruby Soho, Gun Club versus Sting and Darby.
Yeah.
So Rampage does not have those matches. It has the other ones.
Yeah.
The All right. 2 out of 3 falls, the TNT title, and then there's a third one that I can't remember. Either way, cool. This is so much stuff going on. I feel like there's a third match. I feel like there was a third match other than the TNT match and the 2 out of 3 falls. A lot of talking right now. Holy shit. Okay. Riho wins. That's all that matters. After we talk all about this stuff, announced for Dynamite this Wednesday in my notes, everything from Dynamite instead of me pulling up Twitter and doing the search. Oh my God. Okay. Eddie Kingston takes on Daniel Garcia in a really good match. Kingston gets the win, deservedly so. He needed it. Right? He needed it? Yeah.
Daniel Garcia gets to talk. It's great.
Yeah. And again, a very fun match, a very good match. 2.0 are obnoxious as hell on the outside. Big fan of that. We're going to keep that energy up, being obnoxious and having fun. And then Jericho makes a save for Kingston for some reason.
Because they interrupted his promo, which he said, you know, so many times on commentary leading to this.
Woof. But it was fine. Again, the match was great. And then the finish is just kind of one of those. Meh.
Yeah,
it happens.
It's fine. He got his backhand in.
It is 2 matches for Rampage next week. Okay. Good show. Easy to watch. I don't think it was like the most incredible Rampage ever, but you know what? Something I found interesting was for a Thanksgiving, AEW put a lot of good stuff out there where they easily could have coasted.
Yep.
Tim, you're tired?
Yeah. Tired of looking at turkey graphics. Tired of hearing the words Black Friday. I'm over it.
Well, the good news is it's Sunday, at least if you're watching us live. And if you're not, well, you can always leave a comment for us here at Tim and Joel Pod. You can also subscribe to the channel. You can also hit that thumbs up. Do it anytime. Do it all the time. Tell your friends about it. Share the video. Do all the things, man. And join the Discord. That's free. It's in the link. It's in the video description.
Do it.
Oh, Tim, we're back here on Wednesday. But until then, where can the kids find you on the internet?
Oh, they can find me at Tim Stone P, liking other people's comments on Twitter. TimbStonep. Instagram too.
YouTube.com/TimandJoelPod. Come here. Come and join us. Come and subscribe to the channel. I am at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. We covered a lot today. We'll be back at it on Wednesday. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you at noon Eastern Wednesday. New episode. Cheers.